Hello, Roy here. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to The Roy Green Show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
United States Supreme Court Roe versus Wade decision. And back with us, as he was yesterday, from Trigger State, Tennessee, Reggie Cicchini, Washington correspondent for Global News. Reggie, thanks for coming back. What's the situation in Tennessee today, 24 hours later?
Well, I mean, look, the protests are far fewer. There are far fewer people gathered outside of the state legislature building, but the fear and the concern has not lessened at all. There is a growing concern to what's going to happen here in the coming weeks, as tomorrow both sides in this debate are going to argue before the Supreme Court as to what should move forward. But ultimately, likely by tomorrow, there is going to be a much more advanced pace at getting abortion completely banned, as right now it sits at 6 weeks.
Yeah, I was just talking to a law professor from the University of West Virginia, and I was asking her about, and she had concerns about this, she actually opened the door on this, about the court perhaps revisiting, if a state were to challenge existing laws, and revisit the issue of contraception, interracial marriage, same-sex marriage, other givens in American society, or expected to be givens by now, in American society. Is there concern, widespread concern in the United States, about that possibly developing?
It is a fear. You know, it's been kind of a quiet discussion in some circles for the last several years. There is, you know, no kind of shortage of members of the far right that would like to see many of the rights that exist right now completely stripped away. But now that we've seen the Supreme Court go after abortion rights, there is growing concern for what may happen to things like contraception or same-sex marriage, because it was discussed by Justice Clarence Thomas in his response to the Roe v. Wade decision. Now, is that going to happen? It's unclear. Most legal experts that we've spoken to and most experts that I've heard from have said that it's not likely something that the court is going to touch because they say that the precedent is different from what was written in Roe. Now, I'm not a legal scholar, so I don't know how to get so deep into that. But just because the Supreme Court has said that they're not going to go near that doesn't mean that that is kind of etched in stone, because as we remember during the Supreme Court nomination hearings for Justices Amy Coney Barrett and Brett Kavanaugh, both of them had said that Roe was precedent, which obviously, you know, they didn't stick to those words. So, you know, this is a country where realistically, Roy, anything can happen.
And, you know, when we look at our Supreme Court, we don't see a political division. We don't know if a certain justice, for sure, we don't know for sure if they have a preference for liberal or conservative or a new Democrat or Green Party. We don't know. But in the United States, it's very clear which justices are more than likely going to be supporting whichever political party may be in power or in opposition. John Roberts may be the exception. But it's unusual to see that. How much of a concern is there that there now obviously is a very deeply divided court, the United States Supreme Court?
I mean, you're right. You know, the judicial system is supposed to be one that kind of is an equal playing field and doesn't pander to one side or the other. But that's simply not how the makeup is of at least this Supreme Court. And realistically, it's not the makeup that it's been since the early 1990s, where there has been a direct correlation between one side of the bench and one of the political parties in this country. But you have to go further down from the highest court. I mean, there's a lot of jurisdictions around the United States where you elect your legal officials. So, you know, there is concern here that if there was to be, you know, further stacking of the court, if there happens to be other openings and more right-leaning justices get in, that this could potentially open a door for different rights to be taken away across this country. You know, there's supposed to be a separation between executive and judicial. It just simply doesn't exist. And that's very clear from what we saw during the Trump administration.
Yeah, I was just thinking, if you had a Supreme Court where there's open hostility, maybe it already exists, because if you look at the decisions, at least the decision from the majority, and then you look at the minority reaction to it, there's a clear division between these justices. But if it breaks out into open hostility, I'm not talking about dropping your gloves, but I'm talking about, you know, clear, obvious, we don't like each other, so we're not going to work together, that would be a major implication for American society. This is the Supreme Court. This is supposed to be above politics, hopefully.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, look, this is supposed to be Chief Justice Roberts' court, where he's supposed to be able to kind of rein things in. And now you have a court that is kind of working in opposite directions of not only where the court should be in itself, but also working against public opinion around the United States. Look, there's new polling that came out today that shows that 66% of women, 60% of Americans in general were not in favor of Roe being overturned. Yet here you have a court with a minority of unelected officials now, or rather a majority, but still, six people in unelected positions making a decision for what the broad majority of America does not want to see.
So we always have, and you're in Washington, so you have a far better sense of this than most of us in this country, but the sense has always been that the American president wields enormous power, just enormous power. Does President Biden have sufficient power, sufficiently enormous power, to re-engage on this issue and perhaps bring it back in a somewhat different version to the Supreme Court, or create an environment or a dynamic where the Supreme Court has to again rule on new legislation, which we just saw in this country on drunk driving?
No, the president has very little power that he can wield over what the Supreme Court does. And again, that's due to that direct separation of powers. And he has already said that executive action simply is not going to do anything to reverse this, saying that Congress is the only option for moving forward. And that's a failed option right now because Democrats were not able to get enough Republican support to codify abortion rights into law earlier this year. That's why we've heard from Speaker Pelosi saying that this is going to be on the ballot later this year in the midterm elections, trying to drive out, hoping this becomes a motivator for the base. But I think that there is a kind of other important political aspect to this, in that Republicans right now are lauding this as an effort of having thrown it back into the state's hands. But at the same time, Republicans are also saying, hey, if we win power later this year, we may put a federal ban in place, bringing abortion down maybe to 15 weeks. So, you know, the politics side of this is difficult. The president doesn't have much he can do. And if Democrats can't get their base out, this could continue this kind of fear and concern that people have around this country if Republicans get even more control.
If you want to hear more, subscribe to The Roy Green Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you find your favorites. And if you like what you hear, leave us a review and tell a friend. I'm Roy Green. Have a great weekend.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.